verses of the epistle lesson we just heard before. Paul writes to the people of Philippi, "But live as citizens worthy of the good news of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or stay away, I will hear your standing firm, one in spirit, and fighting side by side like one man for the faith in the good news. Don't let your enemies frighten you in any way. This is how you prove to them they will be destroyed and you will be saved. And this proof is from God. It is given to you to be for Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, as you have the same struggle you once saw me have, and now hear that I have." This is the reading. Dear friends in Christ Jesus our Lord, the thrust of our text is so carefully stated in verse 27. This is the key motif of the entire epistle of Paul to the Philippians. Sometimes it is suggested that the theme of Philippians is rejoice in the Lord always, and Paul continues in verse 4 following that he says, "And again I say, rejoice." And we might just as well say that an intimate part of this theme, or one might say that the back side of this coin is the important statement, live as citizens of heaven. Paul uses the language of citizenship and military action in our text, but actually this language permeates the entire epistle. And we ask, why does he do so? And the answer is that Paul uses the language and the thought pattern of the people of Philippi to seek in this way to meet the needs of the Christians found there. If you turn back to Acts 16, we note that Luke emphasizes very carefully that Philippi was a Roman colony who in its life and thought sought to out-Rome, Mother Rome. The inflammatory accusations raised against Paul and Silas include the charge before the duumvirs, the city officials, that the religion which Paul and Silas proclaimed was unworthy, yes, it was illegal for Romans to hear. And so in their patriotic horror that such an unthinkable thing had happened in their city, the city officials had their lictors beat Paul and Silas and put them into the maximum security prison at Philippi. And this action then breathed the exalted status in which the people of Philippi held themselves. The inscriptions existing in the monuments at Philippi witness to the fact that the imperial cult was of tremendous importance in the life of this Roman colony, which was so conscious of its status and its dependence on the favor of the great gods of Rome, yes, even if they had some Thracian overtones to them. So to continue in their great exalted status was of tremendous importance to pay careful worship and due reverence to the great gods of this cult. And so the language which Paul uses as he writes to the Philippians is very much a part of the basic fabric of the life of Philippi. And Paul does so for the one purpose, that he might instruct, that he might encourage the members of the church there to be faithful to Jesus Christ, their Lord and their King. In the opening verse which I just read to you, verse 27, Paul reminds his hearers, his readers, that they have a dual citizenship. As citizens of Rome, they have privileges to enjoy and responsibilities to discharge. This was true also of them as citizens of heaven. They needed to remember that they, as the Christians, had to live their life in such a way through the power of God's Spirit that the fact that they were Christians would have a very positive and manifest impact on the lives of their fellow citizens at Philippi, that these would be conscious of the fact that these Christians were citizens of heaven as well as being citizens of Rome. And Paul goes on to say that despite the difficulties they may face, and we don't know what they were exactly, we can only suggest a few things, Paul tells the Christians that they are to stand firm as a Roman soldier was expected to stand firmly at his assigned post, whatever the consequences might be. You listen to the reading, Paul says, to contend, to strive for the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, just as gladiators in the arena would strive, would contend to save their lives in this conflict in the arena. However great their difficulties and sharp the conflict might be, Paul's underlined to his readers and to us today that a far more perfect and a far more glorious citizenship awaits us in heaven. And so Paul says to us, do not complain because you face opposition. Paul very plainly says that Christ faced opposition and suffering, so those who are his followers too would face opposition and suffering. Paul reminds them that God supplies strength and courage, and in the process of suffering and opposition, brings us to the recognition of our utter dependence upon God, upon his grace, upon his eternal plan for us. We may say it in this way, that our greatest times of stress and difficulty, our greatest times of trial and tribulation, are very crucial for us as those who are citizens of heaven. And when we look back, we may very truthfully say and gratefully say that they were, under God, our finest hours in life. And so today, you and I approach the Lord's table. We remember that we, in sinful weakness, have faltered and staggered along the way. Or to say it very plainly, we have sinned and sinned grievously against God. And so you and I come in humble penitent faith, with deeply grateful hearts for his incredible grace and mercy. And we thank him for the strength which he provides each day to face life as those who are citizens of heaven. And you and I pray for the strength to say with St. Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In Jesus' name, amen.